Well, good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. My, what a blessing to be together. God's people. Hallelujah. God's people. Think about that. Gathered together in God's name to be blessed. I'm sorry, but I'm going to need to ask for some water. Sorry about that. God's people. Well, that song puts my burden in a nutshell tonight. It's a beautiful song. I don't know what it does to you, but it puts the chills down my back when we sing that song, to think that God is the same tonight that He was for the children of Israel. I want us to think about that. God is very interested in what goes on here tonight. God is very interested in what I say. God is very interested in how we hear, like we've already said, that we open our hearts to what the Lord has to say. We're blessed. I don't know if we realize it or not, but we're blessed. Amen? We're blessed to be able to gather together like this for a couple of days of hearing God's word being preached, singing, praying, testifying, and fellowshipping. That's a blessing. I hope it will change us. But you know, we need the Lord. And I know we all know that. We need the Lord. Thank you. And my burden and my prayer for us this weekend is that God would reveal His word to our hearts. That was such a beautiful song, such a prayer, beautiful prayer song. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Reveal Your word to our hearts. Amen. I think we should pray. Why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Lord God in heaven, our Father, it's all about You. We're here to seek Your face, God. We're here to hear from heaven, hear the word of God being preached, Lord, and yet all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. We acknowledge that, Lord, tonight here before You. Father, please come and anoint my lips, Lord, and touch every heart, Lord, and bring Your fear into this place, Lord. Help me not to fear the big crowd, Lord. Help me to fear You tonight, God, that I would stand in the pulpit of God and say something that You would not want me to say. Dear God, I pray, Lord, You would keep me from doing that, Lord, that I would say the things that You want me to say, Lord. Help me to preach the word. And Father, we look to You to bless the preaching of the word and draw our hearts to Yourself, Lord. Father, we just give this time of preaching, this time together to You tonight. Oh, Father in heaven, hear our prayer tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank You, God, that we can call You our Father. Lord, we're Your children gathered here tonight, and we call out to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Thy name. O God in heaven, the 24 elders fall down before You and they cry, holy, holy, holy. And the seraphims and the cherubims cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hallowed be thy name tonight, dear God. Yes, Father, we're here. We see the people. They're old friends that we haven't seen for a long time. But God, I pray you to rest our attention that we could also sense the Spirit of God here tonight, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on in the earth as it is in heaven here tonight, O Father. Give us tonight, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, even here in this holy place, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Evil thoughts, God, distractions, deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Well, that song we sang is taken out of Psalms 78, and you may open your Bibles there for our reading tonight to begin with. It's not my text, but it bears my heart very well. Psalm 78, we'll read the first verses, I believe it is. It's where this song was taken out of that we sang. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. We have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. It seems to me this is the burden that is spelled out on this little brochure that I got, that is the vision of this meeting this weekend. Let me read it to you. These meetings were planned with a vision to encourage leaders of homes to rise up in faith and teach the mighty works of God to the next generations. That's what we read, brothers and sisters. This not to pass on a religion, but a living, vibrant Christian faith. It is a vision to stir all our hearts to have a kingdom-focused perspective of life, and having the continual awareness of how the choice we make will affect our destiny. We desire to bring a united vision of men turning their hearts to God and allowing him to bring a spiritual revival. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. When I chose this title, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done, you know, I had a little fear that I'll lose you with the title because it's so familiar. You know how that works? We just hear it so often, and Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But I hope to put some meat to that tonight. It's a two-part message. The first part, thy kingdom come, and then the last part, thy will be done. I would like to start my message tonight by going back in Bible history and considering where God's kingdom started. All the way back with Abraham, when God made a covenant with Abraham. And if I could just paint a picture tonight in our minds, I would like to have a big old globe to put up here about 4 foot around and put a little pin on that globe in Berlin, Ohio, as close as we could get on that globe, and just give us a picture that even though this is a fairly big crowd and we're in a fairly big building, but I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is very big, much bigger than this meeting tonight. Brothers and sisters, we are involved, we are a part of a huge kingdom, a long-lasting kingdom. And if I could just paint that picture, even though this seems big, but in light of the world, in light of all the peoples of the world, even that are just alive today, true children of God, this is nothing, right? This is a drop in the bucket. Then take all the Christians that have died down through the generations that walk faithfully with God, and they are the people of God, and they're going to resurrect and meet with God and all the millions of people on that great day. You know, I think we live in a very independent society. We can get so narrow-minded, so small. It's me and God. It's me and my relationship with God. Sometimes we even have a problem plugging into a brotherhood because we have a problem fitting in. But brothers and sisters, we better get something right. The kingdom of God is huge, and we need to try and blend in and figure out what God's all about. It's a lot bigger than me. It's a lot bigger than you. It's about God's people. It's about the King. It's about serving God. It's about giving Him the glory. Thy kingdom come. I hope that we would be stirred with the faithful word of God that God has given to us and preserved it that we want to look at tonight. I hope at the thought of being a recipient, brothers and sisters, we sit here tonight with a direct connection with the words that God spoke to Abraham when He said, I will bless thee, Abraham, and whosoever blesses you, I will bless them. All the families of the earth shall be blessed in you, Abraham. We're recipients of that promise thousands of years ago. I don't know what that does to you, but that makes me excited because our God is alive. When we think of how vast and how huge God's kingdom is, it should make us sit up and try and catch what God might be saying to us this weekend. Because you know what? Many missed the Son of God when He walked on the earth. They saw Him with their physical eyes, but they did not see Him as the Son of the living God. And it would be sad, but there's a good chance that there would be a few of those that would be here this weekend that would actually miss opening, yielding, surrendering, pressing in, allowing themselves to be distracted from being touched and changed by God. We are given the scripture that says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Our learning, our instruction, that we through patience and comfort, encouragement of the scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah. We have the blessed word of God tonight. Amen. And by this blessed, living, preserved Word of God, we may be encouraged tonight. And then the second part of the message is going to be a plea, a call for us to get a hold of the will of God, the revealed will of God in this book for you and me to get a burden of how things are and look and compare them with how things are in here and see if they match up. And if they don't, brothers and sisters, you and me have the privilege of becoming an intercessor, a man, a woman to stand in the gap and pray the will of God down on the earth, down on His church. God is looking for people who will make the comparison what God's will is and what the experience is, what the expression is, and stand in the gap. And that's the last part of the message. Thy will be done. I'm not talking about those types of prayers that we pray, you know, when we're praying something, now, God, if it's not your will, Lord, bless us, but if it's not your will, thy will be done. That's not my burden tonight. I believe there is a number of things, plenty of things that we clearly can get the heart of God. And when we get under the burden of God, that things are not like they should be, then we don't pray like that. Amen? I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm telling you the end before the beginning almost. Admonition from the Scriptures, calling attention to the Scriptures. I would like to begin tonight by, in our minds, taking us back to Abraham. Way, way back when Abraham was there with his father and taking some of my thoughts from Stephen's message there in Acts as he stood before the Sanhedrin and the rocks were about ready to fly. You know the account there in Acts 7 where Stephen preached that powerful message and gave a history of God's people. I'd like to draw a few thoughts out of that. You don't have to turn there. But Stephen, as he stood there before the Sanhedrin, as he sat there, his face shining like the face of an angel, he said to those men that stood around him, he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, listen unto me. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham and said," the God of glory, the God of glory was in heaven, and he was looking on the earth, and he saw a man, Abraham by name. He was a friend of God, and he appeared to Abraham, the God of glory. That's whose word we have tonight. The God of glory appeared to Abraham and said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Praise God for that this evening. We sit here, a recipient of that blessing. Fast forward, Abraham finally had Isaac. And we have that tremendous history of Abraham and Isaac's test there of surrender and sacrifice. There where Abraham surrendered and sacrificed his son Isaac. And we have God watching very closely and speaking out of heaven saying, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad." This was God. Moving on, we have Jacob, Isaac's son, meeting up with God on his way as he was going back to meet Laban. We have God, we have Jacob, Isaac's son, wrestling with God. There, wrestling with God that night, and he would not let him go, for he wanted the blessing. And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." That was Jacob. I know we know these things, brothers and sisters, but I'm going to utter a few dark sayings of old. things that we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. But these are God's words. These are God's movings and actions and callings upon people. And it's about His kingdom. He had a view, a vision in mind for a people. And He started there with Abraham. Jacob had the 12 patriarchs. It says that his sons were moved with envy towards Joseph. You know, they were jealous because they felt Father Jacob loved Joseph over them. And you know what they did? They sold him down there to Egypt, but God was with him. God was with him. Years later, because of the drought, Israel moves to Egypt because of the famine. A total of 75 souls. Stephen tells us in his message there in Acts. 75 souls move with Israel, down there to Egypt to Joseph, and so they have food to eat. Listen, they are there for 400 years. 400 years. I don't know how many generations that would be considered, but you probably know. 400 years. They are in bondage in Egypt. Their taskmasters were hard taskmasters. And God comes to Moses in the backside of the desert, and he appears in a burning bush there and says, among other things that he told Moses there, but he said, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. My people, God's people. And I have heard their groanings and am come down to deliver them. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God brings them into the promised land. Now, as Joseph, backing up a little bit, going back to Egypt there, if you'll remember that before Joseph died, he made mention of his bones. He made mention of his bones, and he told the children of Israel, hallelujah, God is going to come. Think about this. This was a 400-year prophecy. And he's going to deliver you. And you take my bones with you. There is a message in the bones of Joseph tonight. Here they are, 400 years. Those bones must have been pretty dry. But the time came when it was time to go. Moses came from the backside of the desert. And he went through all those miracles, signs and wonders. Imagine someone remembered to get the bones of Joseph. How did that happen? That was important to someone. Either they wrote it down or they did what we just read here tonight. They passed it on down. Father to son, when God delivers us from Egypt, take Joseph's bones along. This was important to God. So the time comes, the blood is on the doorpost. Someone, among all the others with all their backpacks and pack mules of things, in a box, someone carried Joseph's bones. Imagine coming up with the million plus people to the Red Sea with all their stuff and the Egyptians coming up behind them. And in the midst of that is 400-year-old dead bones of Joseph. They go down into the Red Sea. Someone is carrying Joseph's bones. On the other side. And they go through that praise and worship time on the other side. They have Joseph's bones with them. God is alive. God is faithful. God's word is true. I hope our faith will be strengthened by these minute, by these details that I will bring out as I go along here. God told them when they get to the promised land that they should not forget the Lord their God, which brought them out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Well, you know they did. Many, many times they turned to idols and other gods. After that time, we have the time of the judges. We have Gideon, to name one, who at a very low time in Israel, things were not well. The Midianites would come and come down upon Israel like grasshoppers for multitude. And they would impoverish Israel. When the rye was coming up to maybe where they could about harvest it, in come the Midianites with their camels and with their animals and just graze it off. And they would have, I think we read there, or at least, I'm not sure if we read it there, but they did their little bit of farming in places maybe where they could keep just enough for their own animals. And Gideon was one of those that was farming, maybe somewhat in a hidden corner somewhere, and he knows things are not like they should be. These are the people of God. But we're living our life in oppression, and we're living our life in that we're farming in a corner. And God comes to Gideon and he says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon's response, pretty good response. "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." God liked that response. He did. He saw that there was a man there that wasn't satisfied with things the way they were. Amen? And God used that man, and he, you know the story. He used him to bring a mighty deliverance there with 300 men. Moving on to the prophets, we have Samuel. Samuel comes on the scene. When Eli was the priest, and you probably know the story, it was not a good time. Eli's sons were vile. They were evil. They were sons of Belial. This was the priest's sons. They laid with the women at the temple there and took more of from the offerings than they should have, and they were just very wicked sons. God talked to Samuel saying that he will judge the house of Eli. God said that the thing he will do will cause both ears to tingle. That means to redden with shame of everyone that hears it. Eli, this judgment's going to go out, and every Israelite that hears it is going to be so ashamed, his ears are going to turn red. After that, we have Saul's rise and fall as a king. David, a mighty king, a man after God's own heart, used mightily of God, not being able to build the temple because he was a man of war, a man of blood. God did not allow him to build the temple, but he allowed Solomon, his son, to build his house. And we're going to read something here in 1 Kings 10 about Solomon. If you would turn there, 1 Kings 10. First Kings 10, verse 1 to 13. God's blessing upon Solomon. "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and with camels and that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Orpha, brought it from Orpha great plenty of almond trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almond trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And the king Solomon gave unto the queen Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. A picture of God's blessing upon his people. That was a good time for Israel. But Solomon didn't end well. We'll read a few verses in 1 Kings 11, verse 4 to 10. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Malcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Think about that. The Lord God appeared unto Solomon twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. He kept not that which the Lord commanded. In the time of Isaiah, Israel's state was so low, so bad, that Isaiah said, "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." Did you hear that? It was so bad, evil was the norm. It was bad. Isaiah was the prophet. And if you decided to get straight, if you decided to get to mend your ways, your life was in danger. That's how bad it was among the people of God. Truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. It was so bad at this time that God looked down and he wondered, is there no one that knows my heart that would get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray to me and intercede? At time of Isaiah. In Ezekiel's day, things were very bad. And it says that God sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. None. God said that. There were holes in the walls. The enemy could come in. There were breaches. And there was no one to stand in the gap. Moving ahead to Malachi's day, it says the people sat in gross darkness. People were offering polluted offerings. It was the dark times. I think it was for 400 years that they hadn't heard from God. If I'm not mistaken. But in the midst of that, there were a few that feared the Lord and spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. Praise God. God is not asleep. Even when things are very bad, and there may be just a few that have a burden, and they're talking about these things, and they're fearing God, and they're saying things are not like they should be. And they're encouraging one another. And God heard it. And a book of remembrance was written, it says in the Bible, before him for them that feared the Lord and them that thought upon his name. God, this is not how it should be. Something is very wrong, God. That was Malachi. Moving on to the New Testament. I'd like to think that perhaps old Simeon and old Anna that came into the temple when Jesus was brought in there by his mother Mary and Joseph. I don't know, but I'd like to think maybe old Simeon and Anna would have been among those that thought often upon his name and feared the Lord and were in that group. I don't know. But in Luke 2, we have Simeon. It says he was a just man. I'm going to turn there, Luke chapter 2. See that account? Simeon, Luke 2. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the Messiah of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Praise God. God was beginning to move. Amen. God was beginning to move. The Holy Ghost was upon this man. Old Testament setting. Maybe he was among those that feared God, that feared the Lord and spake often one to another. The time was coming for God to send the Messiah. And he put the Holy Ghost upon old Simeon. God did. And God revealed to this old man that he should not die, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ or the Lord's anointed. And he that morning, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Hallelujah. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Maybe that's talking about the stone of stumbling. I'm not sure. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. All I can think about that verse is that Mary's heart was pierced when they crucified her son. But oh, didn't that crucifixion, didn't the work of Christ reveal all our hearts? Yes, it did. It told us what for hearts are in us, and that we are all sinners, and that we all need a Savior. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years she was a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. I venture to say that she was also full of the Holy Ghost. She was fasting and praying all the time. She stayed in the temple. She came in and she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. That was a Holy Ghost-filled message from that old woman. Imagine. Every day she's praying and fasting for the Messiah. And it was revealed to her that this is him. This is him. He's here. An old man and an old woman. Brothers and sisters, we better not play games with God, because he's alive. He's watching. He's still got a kingdom in mind. He's still building his kingdom. He has not forgotten his promise, his covenant with Abraham. He is a living God. And he showed up down through time. Here and here and here and here. And we just looked at a few. We better not play games with God. Anna was a holy intercessor before God, night and day praying for the redemption of Israel. Jesus, that little baby, rocked the known world at his birth, causing a massive slaying of every baby boy 2 years old and under. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. At Pentecost, God established a church with such a mighty sign and wonders. The dread and fear of God was so much upon them that it says, Of the rest durst no man join himself to them. Amen? This was God. But the people magnified God, Acts 5:13. And believers were the more added unto the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Thy kingdom come, O God. Thy kingdom come. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, please. In Acts chapter 20, we have Paul giving his final words to the elders, a group of elders that had gathered together there. And he was giving his final words. He told them that they will see his face no more. And what I want us to get out of this passage here tonight, brothers and sisters, is that the burden of our day might begin to settle down upon us. I gave all this history for this reason, or for following here. It's our day, brothers and sisters. The baton is in our hands, amen? It's time for us to run the race. It's time for us to hear from God. It's time for us to live for God. It's time for us to be part of the kingdom of God. The ball is in our court. This is the generation that God is working in. I'm not speaking about this group only here, much, much bigger than that. But, oh, that we be part of that at least. Amen? Oh, God, show yourself strong, oh, God, this weekend. Open our eyes, oh, God. Think of the tremendous beginning that the church had here in Acts, where no man durst join himself because of the fear of God. And now Paul, a few years later here, has these words to say here in Acts. He says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Oh, preachers, all of us here tonight, it is an awful thing to be a shepherd, a pastor. Adam Clark uses that word. It is an awful thing to be an overseer of the people of God. But he says, take heed to yourselves, therefore, and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood. Now look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't really matter how big, how powerful, how earth-shattering the beginning was. If we don't continue to walk with God and hear from God, the church is very vulnerable. Paul said this, that wolves, men from without and men from within, rising up and scattering the flock. Oh God, give us true shepherds that are willing to lay down their lives for the sheep. The church may have a beautiful beginning, But Paul is saying, take heed, watch and pray, remember my example, warning, night and day with tears. The church that once, these people might have been a bit of afraid to come in because of, they might be struck dead like Ananias and Sapphira were. But a few years, things had changed. And these Judaizers and other men with other agendas were coming in there and destroying the flock. And we see that down through history. Mighty beginnings, mighty deliverances. The mighty God, faithful to His word. But Israel turned away. Forgot God. The church fell apart. Bowed down to idols. Served other gods. God led them into other lands. Put them in bondage. Till finally someone woke up and began to cry out to God. And God heard their cry. And we're coming down to the last part of the message here. Who will stand in the gap today? Before we, yeah, let's go back to Revelation. We'll just read a little bit there, not much, but Revelation chapter 2. This is still in John's day. The apostle John is still alive. The one that walked with Jesus and laid his head on Jesus' lap. He's still alive, and the church has already lost her first love. It says here, we'll just read the first 7 verses here. Unto the angel, and that means unto the minister or the pastor of the church of Ephesus. Dearly beloved, this man that is going to get this letter most likely was sitting there in that meeting with the Apostle Paul. And he may remember the Apostle Paul's words. Remember my example. Watch and pray. Maybe when John handed him this letter, he remembered the words of the Apostle Paul, because the elders of Ephesus were there. These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and I know thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. They had a lot of things going for them. But God, in His mercy, sent them a letter saying, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We'll stop reading there. Time's getting away from me. All of that history for this. All of that history for this. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the priest alone could go into the very presence of God. Today, you, my dear brother, you as a father, you as a mother, can enter into the presence of God if you have a burden, and you can tonight, by these faithful testimonies of the faithfulness of God, you can get a hold of God, and you can come into His very presence. And as James says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I believe tonight, by the testimony of the written word of God, that when we get a burden, that things here are not like they should be, and we bring it to God, God draws nigh. And though we may not see the answer right away, the answer will come. Who will draw nigh to God? Who will approach God with the will of God written on his heart? Who will approach God with the will of God written on his heart? To intercede, to stand in the gap for God's people today, upon whom the ends of the world have come. The Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I believe if we take time to listen to the Word of God, we can know the will of God, and we can bring the will of God into the presence of God and intercede for our church today. James says that he has a little bit of an order here how we should approach God. In James, if you want to go there, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It says in verse 6, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." I'll stop reading there. Before we can answer the question, who will draw nigh to God, we must first consider the question, who can draw nigh to God? The man that is humble can draw nigh to God. Brothers and sisters, it is not my glory or my name or our name, but it is not my glory, but it is God's glory that brings us to seek God. God's glory is at stake. There must be a heart of submission to the will of God when we come before God's presence to intercede. It is not my will, not my plan, not my agenda, but God's will that moves me to seek God. An effective intercessor knows the will of God and knows that things are not like they should be. In interceding, there is resistance, there is opposition. Satan does not want us to get through to God. We are told here to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Seeking God is not for the faint-hearted. Daniel prayed for 21 days before his answer came. Jesus contended with the devil for 40 days, and afterwards, angels came and ministered unto him. Who will do these things in order to effectively intercede for the church? God met Abraham, a friend of God. God used Moses, a very meek man. Who will seek God among us? God is not quite finished yet with his kingdom. Not quite. I think we must be getting close to the end. Who's going to hold on? Who's going to remain faithful? Every church, I believe, is being tested and tried. Who's going to let these things that we read and looked at tonight move them? Move us from waiting for someone else to do it. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Who's going to do it? It will make a difference, brothers and sisters. No one seeks God in vain. I believe a songwriter penned a song. No one seeks God in vain. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Rise up, O man of God. The church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. God, thy kingdom come. Who will pray, thy will be done? Who will not let go? Who will wrestle with God until we get the blessing? God, I will not let you go. My family, my children, my church, whatever the burden might be, God, I need the blessing. Who will do it? Who will do it? Brothers and sisters, let's believe God. Let's believe His Word. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. God says, try me and prove me, and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. Who's going to take Him at His Word? Who's going to believe that deliverance will come? Joseph did. Pick up my bones. Take them with me. Who's going to say tonight? God's going to come. I believe Him. When His people pray and humble themselves and seek His face, we'll hear from heaven. Brothers and sisters, the ball is in our court. It's our turn. It's our generation. The Bible says David served his generation and fell on sleep. And we have his history. We don't know who's going to be the next one. But the ball's in our court. Will we make history for God? Will we do it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'll close with a few thoughts from this song. Oh, praise our great and gracious Lord and call upon His name. This is not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. Call upon His name. Oh, God of Joseph. God of Joseph. God of Abraham, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, call upon His name. To strains of joy tune every chord, His mighty acts proclaim. Tell how He led His chosen race to Canaan's promised land. Tell how His covenant of grace unchanged shall ever stand. Oh, may we faithful ever stand and trust our heavenly guide who us upholds with powerful hand while ebbs life's feeble tide and brings us to that happy shore, the land of peace and rest, where saints do worship and adore in God's own presence bless. Brothers and sisters, I want to be there. I want to be there. And I want many more people to be there. And I will try and do my part to be that intercessor for the people of God. God bless you.